Minor Prophet, book of Joel, chapter number 2. May take you just a minute. It's kind of tucked in there, only 3 chapters. And you know your Bible pretty good and be trying to find it and pass it 3 or 4 times. And if you keep looking, I promise you it's in there. If you got a Cambridge Bible, I'm on page 1064. And they probably ain't nobody else in here but me got a Cambridge Bible. Amen. Amen. 1064? No? Okay. You ain't got the cameo wide margin. Amen. All right. Joel, the book of Joel, chapter number 2. Ain't you glad you saved?
Amen.
Nothing like being saved, knowing the Lord. I want to study this text with you. I want to really challenge us tonight. I may not get worked up like we normally do. Then again, who knows? I may. But I really want to try to be a help to us this evening and give us some good challenge, but some good promises tonight about the ministry of prayer and what God has to say about that, all right? The book of Joel, chapter number 2. What an interesting book. Don't know a lot about this prophet. I think there's 12 men in the Word of God who bear the name Joel. And this one seems to be unique as far as trying to connect him to any other of the references. Seems like that's not able to be done. So we don't know a lot about him other than what he preached. And can I say tonight, and this ain't in the notes, it just dawned on me, amen, I think men of God ought to be known for what they preach. It ain't important that we know their name. It's important that we hear the message that they're saying on behalf of the Lord. And so Joel is a good illustration of that. And I want to begin our reading in verse number 12. We'll read several verses. The Bible said, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet." Listen to verse 17. There's a phrase here we'll pull out in a moment. "Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God?" I love verse 18. "Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things." You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, one more time, in the name of the Lord Jesus, help us tonight. Help us, Lord, expound the Word of God to give truth line upon line, precept upon precept. Lord, help us to say all we need to say and nothing more, nothing less. Lord, what you do tonight in our hearts we'll be grateful and thankful for. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. We find here in this text of Scripture the prophet Joel is encouraging the people of God in the matter, what maybe we'll call tonight, the matter of a spiritual revival. And we'll say some about that here in just a moment, but it centers around And much of his opening, especially the opening two chapters, center around the people of God and their relationship to the temple of God. In this text, he is calling upon them that they would, according to verse 15, that they would blow the trumpet in Zion, that is the trumpet of assembling the people to come and come before the Lord and minister before the Lord and come into the presence of God and there find the help that they need. And so as we consider the temple tonight, the building of the temple was recorded, is recorded for you and I in the days of the history of King Solomon. We know it is Solomon's temple, but really it was the temple of the Lord. It was the dwelling place of God. It's where God said He would put His name. It's where God said He would hear their prayers. It's where God said that He would settle in among the people of God, Brother Sam, and there they would know Him, hear His word, and feel His spirit, and live in His glory. And what a scene of the temple it is when we read about the record of the building of that temple in Solomon's day. According to the account, the biblical account, even in 1 Kings chapter number 6 and in verse number 3, Solomon had in the plans of the temple, he had built there going into the holy place what is known as a porch. And we'll not take time to look at that verse, but that porch was as wide as the holy place and the temple of the Lord was. And literally, the word porch is used in our text in verse 17 and in 1 Kings 6, 3. It literally means a palladium or a vestibule. And it sat there. It was what they would walk up the stairs and then the vestibule, the foyer, if you will, that they would enter in, the priests would enter in to go into the holy place. Entering in the holy place, they would minister before the Lord. And once a year, they'd go in the Holy of Holies and to the very presence of the glory of God, and there offer the blood as a sacrifice and an atonement for the people of God. And so we think a lot about Solomon's temple. Very little is said about the porch, but even in the biblical record, there is reference to that of the porch. Now this place is referenced in our text of Joel chapter number 2 and in verse 17, where the Lord, through the prophet Joel, said, "Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar." Between the porch and the altar. The porch being the entryway into the very presence of God. The altar being the brazen altar, the place of sacrifice, and the place of dealing with sin. Amen. Between there and the entry, he says to the people, and they are to blow the trumpet and to assemble, and the priests were to enter this place between the porch and the altar, this place before the vestibule. And there we find its significance as it was through the vestibule that the priests would minister before the Lord. Now, in the days of Joel, we understand the opening chapter, and I don't have the time tonight to go through it. But you'll find that there is both a national and spiritual decline among the nation of Israel. And you'll find that nationally they're in a great decline politically. And they had come through a time of great success, a time of great gain and prosperity, a time where God had been very good to them. Some believe Joel is writing in the latter days of King Uzziah. And King Uzziah was that one Isaiah was very fond of in his day. And really a great, great king in his own right. He didn't do everything perfect, but a great king in the history of the nation of Israel. And yet in the latter days of King Uzziah, there was a national decline. There was a spiritual decline. And things were not as good as they had been. And they was beginning to experience different things that God was beginning to discipline them for because of their spiritual decline. We understand that sin was running rampant. We understand that even as it relates to the temple of God, that there were no meat offering and drink offering poured out. According to Joel 1 verse number 9, these things have been taken away And that is, there was no sacrifices that were acceptable to be made in the temple of God. And so there is a national and a spiritual decline in the day. And so since the offerings had been cut off, there were no sacrifices being made, and there was no activity taking place between the porch and the altar. And I believe the message here of Joel is about the revival of this place. And the people of God, the priests in particular, would get back to an activity between the porch and the altar. And so for a minute tonight, and I'll not be long, I want to expound upon the thought between the porch and the altar. Between the porch and the altar. What is the significance of this in this text? I'll give you three main thoughts and I'll be done tonight. Let me begin tonight by dealing with the representation of this place. The representation of this place. What does it represent to be active between the porch and the altar? Well, let me say that this was a mediatorial place and is spoken of several places in the scripture and indicates, I believe, different aspects of the people of God in their relationship to the Lord. I remember it is between the porch and the altar that their sins have been dealt with and put behind them, and the Lord in His glory is before them. And may I say tonight, amen, in that there is a picture to you and I of salvation. And when we got saved, amen, we came by the place that Christ made sacrifice for you and I, and our sins and the blood that had to be shed for our sins to be forgiven and atoned for is dealt with in type and in picture there at the altar of the temple. Ain't you glad Jesus paid for your sin? Amen. And them Jews, they would come, they'd confess their sin, the priest would confess that sin upon that sacrifice, and that sacrifice would bear the burden of that sin and pay the debt for the sin that Jew had committed, and his throat would be slit. If it was a turtle dove, its neck would be wrung, and there it would be bled out and offered upon the altar, amen, the brazen altar of sacrifice. And my friend, once you get saved, what do? You begin your journey toward the glory of God. And one of these days we're going to be in the presence of God. And in a sense, tonight we're living between the porch and the altar. Amen. I'm glad my sins are behind me and the glory of God is before me. Amen. I said I wouldn't get worked up, but I get thinking about that. And Brother Sam, I'm telling you tonight, amen, what a blessed thought tonight to know, amen, my sins are behind me and I'm moving forward into and toward, amen, the everlasting abode of the presence of God. And so between the porch and the altar represents where we're at now. It represents our relationship to God now. And we think about this tonight in this phrase between the porch and the altar and where it's referenced at throughout the scripture. And I found this that I believe it represents their relationship to preaching. Their relationship to preaching. This ain't what I'm preaching on tonight. Amen. But just let me read this verse to you in Matthew. Matthew chapter number 23, and in verse number, let me find my verse, I believe it's verse number 35, where Jesus said that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. And he's dealing with the Pharisees and the scribes and those that, amen, seem to be religious but were full of the devil. And he said that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto, listen now, the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple
and the altar. And so they knew what that meant. They knew their history. And they knew the history that had taken place in the temple of God. And the Lord Jesus references a fact that this prophet, this other prophet, Zacharias, in the days of Joash, in days of sin, and in days of idolatry, in days of far, far drifting from God, God had a faithful prophet and preacher and man of God who stood and said, "Hey man, what you're doing is iniquity. And because you have forsaken God, God is forsaking you." And if you don't believe me, it's all recorded in 2 Chronicles 24 and in verses number 20, 21, and 22. And he stood there between the porch and the altar and he preached. And that crowd got so mad, kind of like they do in our day when a man of God preaches and calls out their sin. Hey man, got upset and got mad to the point that the Bible said they conspired to kill Zacharias. And of all places they could have killed him, they killed him where he preached. They killed him between the porch and the altar. And can I say, if we're saved tonight, amen, we ought to make sure that between the porch and the altar, amen, that, my friend, we maintain a right relationship to preaching that is the Word of God. Amen, not the preaching of man's opinion, not the preaching that watered down words of compromise that are given in so many places today, but, amen, having a respect and giving an honor to my friend, the preaching of the Word of God. And between the porch and the altar, God would send prophets there to give word and cry out, amen, His truth and against the sins and the iniquities that was taking place, not in heathen lands, but among the people of God between the porch and the altar. And I may come back and preach on that sometime, but hey man, that's a representation of this place. It represents our relationship to preaching. And then it represents our relationship to praise. Interestingly enough, this phrase is dealt with in the days of Ezekiel. In the days of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter number 8, the Lord comes to the prophet Ezekiel and tells him, hey man, through vision to go into the temple, Brother Mike, and he's going to show Ezekiel what kind of things are going on there in the temple. And so he has in view several aspects of it, and he brings it through the outer court and then through various stages of that temple worship until he comes into this place between the porch and the altar. And when in Ezekiel 8, and I believe it's verse 17, 16 maybe, and you'll find that what Ezekiel says is that there are 25 priests that are there. And what they have done, the Bible said that they had turned their backs to the Lord. And my friend, now they're looking back toward the east. And the Bible said when they turned their backs on the Lord, that they were worshiping the sun in the east. That is, my friend, when they turned their back on God, they began to praise and worship things that they should never have given their attention to. And can I say, if we're saved tonight between the porch and the altar and the life that you and I are living, amen, we're to keep, as we preach on Sunday morning, amen, we're to keep our eyes upon the Lord. Amen, we've come too far to turn our back on Him now. Oh, Archie Watkins sang with the Inspirations years ago. Amen, I'll not turn my back on Him now. Amen, He's given me everything I have. He's been too good to me. Amen, I don't want to go back to what I used to be. Amen, my Redeemer deserves my praise. And the one who saved me and the one who forgave me deserves everything faith, amen, that I have as I live between the porch and the altar. Amen, it's sad today. That's a sad commentary in the days of Ezekiel that was going on. And I would submit to you today that there's very little praise being given to God tonight. Among the people of God, they're saved. They've been buried at the altar. Their sins have been dealt with. But, my friend, they've not kept their eyes on the Lord. They have turned their back and they're going in an opposite direction than what they ought to be. And it ain't no wonder we can't praise the Lord like we ought to. Amen. When we give God our shoulder, amen, ain't giving God our attention. Amen. Can I say tonight, when I think about what's behind me, I don't want to go back to that. I don't have anything to go back to. Amen. Listen, I'm heaven bound tonight. Amen. And our attention ought to be upon the Lord. Amen. Why would you want to go back to that anyway? There wasn't no joy back there. Amen. When you got saved, you fell under condemnation. And amen, if we'll be honest, when we got saved, I ain't even preaching on all this. I got to hurry. But amen, I'm talking about it. It represents our relationship to praise. Amen. Keeping our eyes on the Lord, worshiping Him as He is worthy of tonight. And so let me just, amen, amen, let me digress, all right? Amen, our relationship to preaching and to praise. But in our text in Joel chapter number 2, real quickly, and I believe we find that it represents their relationship and ours to prayer. Notice what our text verse said. It said, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. In other words, let them pour their heart out. Amen. Let them pick their burden back up. Amen. Their nation is in decline. Spiritually, they're in a disaster. Morally, they have gone astray. And they're in a mess everywhere they look. The enemy would, amen, soon be coming to take them away. Amen. They don't have what they used to have. They don't have the joy that they once enjoyed. They don't have the peace that they once rested in. And so the Lord says through Joel the prophet, amen, what you need to do, amen, is realize in between the porch and the altar, that's where you once weep. That's where you once poured out your heart to God. That is where you once laid your burdens down. That's where you met with the Lord in the past. Amen. That's where you realized your sins were behind you and the glory of God was yours to enjoy. Amen. Before you. And if you're going to find the help that you need, if you're going to find the joy that has been lost, and you're going to find the peace that you once, amen, rested in, you're going to find it between the porch and the altar. Amen. Get back on your knees. Get back and weep and pour out your heart to God. Amen. Quit talking about how bad it is. Amen. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Amen. God's still on the throne. And God's glory is still in the temple. And God ain't changed and God ain't moved. But if you'll get back to the porch, between the porch and the altar, and weep and pray and carry your burden to God, God will do something for you. Amen. I believe in these days that, amen, as we've been saved and our sins are behind us, and God in His glory and heaven and all that God represents in the days that are to come, and as we're living that time between the porch and the altar, that, amen, if we've ever needed to pray, we need to learn to pray in these days. We ever needed a generation to get a hold of what it is to enter into our closet in secret and pray and pour out our petitions to God. And brother, yeah, we're living in that day. Hey man, there's so much national and spiritual decline. Hey man, there's moral decay there. My friend, is so many areas of our generation that, amen, are rapidly changing for the worse. And sin seems to be at an all-time high, and compromise seems to be everywhere. What is the answer? I believe we find an aid through Joel. I didn't mean to get worked up like this, Brother Gerald. Let me calm down. Hey, man, you know what the answer is tonight? Hey, man, for you and I, the children of God, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, have been made kings and priests. Hey, man, to understand where we are. Hey, man, and between the porch and the altar, weep and cry out unto the Lord, and let our prayers be heard again. Amen. Can I ask you, child of God, when is the last time? Amen. Not that you said your bedtime prayers. Not that you prayed and blessed your folk. When is the last time you entered in and got on your knees in the secret place and you wept before God? Amen. Not just said prayers, been really wept. Amen. Over what was going on in your life. What was going on in the church. What's going on in the nation. And really weep about what we need God to do in these days. Amen. I would say tonight, amen, you say, are you a prophet? I'm not a prophet, ain't the son of one. But I know this, the average Christian that I have the privilege to minister to in these days, I'm afraid has left their relationship with prayer out of their spiritual life. I'm not talking about saying prayers. I'm talking about really weeping over what's going on in our day. Amen. And so there's the representation of this place. And number two, notice the return to this place. In Joel chapter number 2 in verses 12 through 17 of our text, we find that the Lord is calling upon this generation, my friend, to return to the place between the porch and the altar. Amen. He does this in several ways. Several things that I would point out to you that he uses to, my friend, encourage them to return. In verse number 12, I call it the path. Amen. He gives them the path. Notice what he said. He said, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Amen. You see, my friend, amen, and I believe this, that, amen, they were probably going through some semblance of the motion, amen, of the temple worship in that day. The Lord could see their heart was not all the way in it. And for whatever reason, their heart was not in it. Amen, we're not told what distracted them from doing this with all their heart. What the Lord is saying, if you're going to reach that place of weeping and prayer and returning to the sincerity where, amen, it not only means something to you, but you're able to move God because of your prayer life. Amen, you must understand that there will have to be a turning to the Lord with all your heart. He's got to have all of it. Amen. Y'all quiet, that's okay. Turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting. In other words, there may be some things you got to give up. There may be some things this path demands that, amen, we must forsake some things so that we can enter into the presence of the Lord. Amen. He said, with weeping and with mourning. That is to get under a burden. What is the path? Amen. What is the path that is demanded if we're to return, amen, to this place between the porch and the altar? And it's his. And my friend, we must do it with all our heart. We cannot be casual. We can't be in it halfway. Amen. We've got to be, Brother Gerald, 100% committed. Amen. To the secret place, we must be willing to sacrifice and do without. And we must be willing to bear up underneath the burden. There is the reason there ain't much activity in that place. We have a generation that wants, and I've got to hurry. I'm planning on being done in 5 minutes. That ain't looking good. But I'll say this, we're living in a generation that wants a Christianity that doesn't have a hard path. That Bible doesn't teach that. Amen. And listen, amen, I understand it teaches us His commandments are not grievous. Amen, friend, I know that it teaches us the Lord came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, and He's given us joy unspeakable. But, amen, I'm telling you, we are some of the most sad and depressed and discouraged people. Amen, friend, the Lord is saying the way you get your joy back, amen, is to get back to being active in that place of prayer between the porch and the altar. And there's only one way to get there, or it's going to mean anything to you and anything to God. And it is in that place where, amen, we're doing it with all our heart, and we're willing to give up whatever God puts on our heart, and we're willing to bear up under the burden and the load. The path. Verse 13, this will be where you'll shout a little bit, but the possibilities. He said, rend your heart and not your garments and turn unto the Lord your God. Oh boy, I need to say something about that and I ain't got time. Amen. What He's saying again is don't just go through the motion. Don't just pop in and pop out, but make sure it's not just, amen, an outward show, but make sure that your heart has been rended and broken in this matter. Notice the possibilities, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him. Even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. In other words, what Joel is saying, amen, if we will do this, if we will return, amen, to the poor between the porch and the altar, amen, get our sins behind us and ready to receive the glory of God, who can tell if we'll weep? Who can tell if we'll turn with all our heart? Who can tell if we'll turn with fasting? Who can tell if we'll turn with weeping and mourning what God will do if we'll get active in prayer? Can I say I'm glad He's a God that is slow to anger and gracious and merciful? You see, these people don't deserve anything from God. They've got so callous and cold and bitter. Amen. And if you and I was God, amen, we wouldn't have give them another opportunity. Joel said, amen, you don't stand a chance in the shape you're in right now. But if you'll pray and you'll begin to seek God and you'll begin to turn to the Lord, who can tell what God would do? Who can tell what grace He would extend? Who can tell what mercy can be had? Who can tell how His anger would be stopped? Who can tell what great kindness that God wouldn't pour out upon us? But it ain't going to happen if we don't get back between the porch and the altar. Who knoweth? You don't know what God could do for you today. Amen. If you'd let go. Amen. You don't know what God would do for you today. Amen. If you'd quit whining to everybody else and start weeping to God. Amen. If you'd get sincere and pray with all our heart. Who knows what God wouldn't do for us? Amen. The possibilities. Notice the participation. Well, preacher, I'm going to leave that all up to you. You and some of these elders around the church, y'all do that. Oh, no, that ain't what Joel said. Amen. Joel said, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation. He said, you assemble the elders. You assemble and gather the children. Amen. Gather even the babies in. He said, even the newlyweds. Amen. Call them back alpha of their honeymoon. Amen. Take from them the joy of entering into holy matrimony and let them come and pour out their heart to God. In other words, it doesn't matter how old you are or young you are. It doesn't matter matter, my friend, what you've got going on in your life. It doesn't matter what other responsibilities we have to get to. Amen. Somebody's got to make time. Amen. To gather between the porch and the altar. It ain't just for the pastor. It's for all of us. It's for all of us to get, amen, in that place where, amen, we're weeping and we're praying and we're seeking the face of God. Participate, amen, the participation, amen, he said, let them weep between the porch and the altar. And he even tells us what we're to pray. He tells them what they're to pray. Amen, he not only tells them you need to go pray and you need to do it with all your heart and you need to fast and you need to weep and mourn, but he tells them what they are to pray. Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not that inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? You know what they're saying? Amen. They're saying, we may not be living like it. We know our attitude may not be that conducive to that of a child of God. And we know that we have strayed. Lord, your name's on the line and your glory's on the line. And Lord, we're returning to you and we're going to live in the secret place. And we're going to pray and we're going to carry the burden it, and we're going to fast and we're going to do our part, amen, between the porch and the altar, amen, we're going to participate. Lord, we need you to spare us. We know what we deserve and we know what we ought to get from you, but Lord, amen, spare your people, and Lord, do something so great that the heathen would not be able to say of our life, where is their God? And I say, when we enter into the place of prayer and participate in it, it ought not just be to get us out of a bind. It ought to be for the glory of God. And so many people use prayer and use God and their relationship to God as a spare tire. And so, amen, so shame on us, and I'm saying us because I've done it too. Amen. The representation, notice with me, the return, and then, amen, I see the response in this place, verses 18 through 21. Let me just list them to you. I won't preach them. But I love how verse 18 begins, then will the Lord. Then indicates that there's something that has to happen before the Lord is going to do what Joel is about to say the Lord is going to do. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land. When is this then? It is when the people, amen, get back between the porch and the altar. It's when they weep, and when they pray, and when their heart lets go of everything else that it's holding on to, and begins to seek the Lord with all its might again. And Brother Sam, then the Lord is going to respond to them in this place. Amen. I wrote it down this way. Amen. In verse 18, there's the response and the pity of the Lord. Amen. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. I won't preach it tonight, but I'm glad the Lord pities his people. Amen. Old David said, it ain't a justification for our sinful ways. It ain't a justification for our bad attitudes. It ain't a justification for our straying. David said, Lord, you're mindful that I'm but dust. Lord, you know my frame. You know what I am. Amen. And we have to say today, amen, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou wouldst visit him? Amen. And all I can say to you tonight, I said I wasn't going to preach it, and here I go. Brother Riley, all I can tell you tonight is he does know what we are. And he does know that we're prone to wander when we return to the Lord and we seek him with all our faith and we pray and we cry out and we seek it. Amen. Oh, I'm glad that the Lord has pity upon his people. Amen. The pity of the Lord, what a response. the provisions of the Lord in verse number 19. Amen. He said, oh, he said, when you get back between the porch and the altar and you're weeping and praying like you ought to pray and you're ringing heaven's bells, he said, amen. He said, I'm going to give you, amen, and send you corn and wine and oil. Amen. And he said, it's going to be so plentiful that you're going to be satisfied therewith. Amen. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are you satisfied? Are we satisfied tonight? Amen. Could it be that, amen, our lack of satisfaction could be traced back to little activity between the porch and the altar? What Joel is saying, your relationship there affects what you receive from the hand of God over here. Amen. The provisions of the Lord, the pardon of the Lord in verse number 19. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Amen. What he's saying is, I'm going to forgive you. Amen. I'm going to extend pardon to you. Amen. Notice with me in verse 20 and 21, the power of the Lord. Amen. He ends verse number 20 saying, because he had done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. He hath done great things and he will do great things. When, where, it is his response to God's people's activity between the porch and the altar. Said, preacher, I feel so weak and feel like my strength is gone and that the enemy is wearing me out. Why don't you try getting back between the porch and the altar? The preacher, that sounds so simple. It's not complicated. Don't make it harder than it has to be. We need power, and we need the power of God on us in these days. We need it. I need it in preaching more than I've ever needed it before. I need the power of God. Our choir needs the power of God on it now, amen, more than ever. Our church and every member and every family of it, we need you to have the power of God upon you. Amen. It is a necessity in this hour. Amen. But we'll have no power if we're not in the place that God says is between the porch and the altar, the place that represents our prayer life. Amen. Notice he said that in this response that God is going to give, it's going to be a return to our life of gladness and rejoicing. You go home, you read the rest of this chapter in light of the study that we've done tonight. What you'll find is God says, if you'll get back between the porch and the altar, you'll weep and mourn and have a burden. He said, you'll weep and mourn for a little while. He said, but God's going to give you joy back in your soul. Brother Mike, we need joy back in our soul. Amen. I'm not trying to beat up on us. I know it's a Wednesday night. I'm trying to challenge us tonight and trying to encourage you that God has said He'll do some great things. Brother A.L., all that hinges on us getting to the place between the porch and the altar. Amen. Don't live out there outside. Live in that path He saved you to live on. We're going home and going to glory one day. Amen. Somebody ought to pray along the way. Wonder what kind of service we'd have Sunday morning, but Gerald, if we all assembled between the porch and the altar. Be amazing, wouldn't it? Amen. If we all come in, amen, I'm done. Heavenly Father, oh, I love You. Lord, You give us this little thought this week as we was reading and
meditating. And Lord, we're grateful for the challenge that it posed us this week. And Lord, to be able to stand and give it, Lord, to your people. Lord, we're glad to be able to do that. Lord, I pray it's made sense. And Lord, anything that hadn't made sense, I pray you'd bring clarity to it. Lord, to these that have gathered in faithfully the house of God tonight. Lord, may we not just hear it, but Lord, when we go home, Lord, tonight, before we even get in the bed, Lord, help us, Lord, to get down between the porch and the altar. Lord, that spiritual place, and talk to our God, and bear our burdens to you. Lord, I pray, Lord, when we get up in the morning, help us, Lord, to be mindful of the message we've heard tonight. Lord, return again with all our heart, rending our hearts and not our garments. Lord, not just going through the religious motion, but Lord, turning to our God and weeping, and carrying that burden one more time. Lord, our nation, Lord's in such need tonight. Lord, that need's only going to be met by people willing to live between the porch and the altar. Lord, our church tonight needs some help. Lord, we ain't going to get it if folk don't find that place between the porch and the altar. Lord, there's families here tonight that, Lord, have some great, great heavy burdens. Lord, are never going to be lifted if people don't get a hold of getting between the porch and the altar. So, Lord, I pray tonight, have your will and way. Teach us, O God, these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.